Every 2 years, for the last 17 years, a group of kids has been coming to a lab in Bethesda, Maryland to have their brains scanned by an MRI. The study, by the National Institute of Mental Health, suggests teens have a long way to go to fully comprehend the consequences of risky behavior. The number of brain cells and their connections surge just before puberty. Through adolescence, however, cells and connections go through sort of a use-it-or-lose-it process.
During adolescence, you see what's called pruning.
Joe Ackerson is Director of Pediatric Neuropsychology at UAB.
Which is a selective programmed cell death, which then makes that area more efficient in how it operates. So it's like the brain is preparing itself for another stage of growth in prefrontal cortex, and then it kind of refines that process over the subsequent 6, 8, 10 years.
The prefrontal cortex is the CEO of the brain. It's involved in things like planning, organizing, thinking logically. While the prefrontal cortex is still going through these changes, the limbic system of the brain, that's the emotional center, is more developed and advanced. It drives teens to seek things they want. In most teenage brains, since the two systems are not fully connected, they aren't on the same page.
So it's kind of like you're in one of those old cars with a really large engine, but very weak brakes. And so the impulse and the drive kind of overrides the capacity there to stop and think and reflect and weigh, is this something I really want to do right now or not?
Ackerson notes that during this time of storm and stress, teenagers don't intentionally look at adults as human pinball machines, enjoying pushing our buttons just to see us light up. There are other things afoot.
They're trying to assert their own identity, and as they're formulating their own identity, they're not just looking to their parents. Now they're looking to peers. They're far more likely to be influenced by media and popular culture during these times. And so you can see a conflict of cultures and a conflict of values at this time.
This conflict of culture and values is causing some vigorous debate within the juvenile justice system. Joe Ackerson's wife, Kimberly, specializes in forensic psychology. She evaluates juveniles to determine their mental state at the time of their crime, competence to stand trial, and whether they should be transferred to the adult judicial system.
It's extremely important to look at the child's maturity and their development to help understand why they may have committed this act. And while our legal system really does not excuse behavior based on limited development per se, I think we are remiss if we don't take into consideration that these juveniles often commit acts as a result of physical maturity, or if you will, physical immaturity.
Kimberly Ackerson says research on teen brain development is gaining traction among defense attorneys, prosecutors, and judges. Compounding the issue, Ackerson says there's an increase in juveniles with mental illness. Alabama doesn't track these numbers, but a national study by the Virginia Policy Team found 1 in 5 juveniles in the court system have a serious mental disorder, and individual states have reported increasing rates. Harvard psychiatrist Deborah Weber says all of this discussion on how a teen's brain affects their capacity to think clearly and know right from wrong is very intriguing. But she says an underdeveloped brain is no excuse for criminal behavior.
That's not a sort of understanding of the brain that I would be happy with, because I think it sort of makes people think, well, it's just my brain. I have no free will. Well, free will is your brain. You know, I think that we have to be very careful about sort of being too deterministic about what we know about brain science. Yes, it's going to bias kids to be more impulsive than we would like them to be when they're adolescents. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't expect them to be able to make good decisions.
University of Alabama criminologist Bob Sigler says many politicians agree with Weber.
We're in a tough on crime period in that cycle that goes between treatment and punishment, because people who are running for political office believe that people in the community want them to be tough on crime. You can take a look at the legislation that's been coming out in a number of states. It's almost not rational anymore. They've done everything that's reasonable to tighten up on crime, so now many of the things they do are unreasonable.
Research teams continue the difficult task of searching for links between specific traits of teens' brains and their real-life decisions and behaviors. While some believe brain data is eventually going to support reduced legal culpability for adolescents, others like Deborah Weber aren't convinced. For WBHM, I'm Les Lavoie.